Acts chapter 2, verse 37 and 38. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remissions of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is where many today will teach that without baptism there is no salvation. But verse 37, before that, you got to remember, Peter had just told them that they had killed their Messiah. And they said, well, what do we do? And in verse 37, where he says, now when they heard this, Peter had just mentioned to them, hey, you've killed your Messiah. They said, what do we do? Well, he says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? In verse 38, Peter says unto them, Repent. He's telling them what they need to do. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Peter here says, Repent. But does he say, Repent from your sins? No. It's change your mind. You've killed your Messiah. You've killed your King. And you need to change your mind. You need to repent. By the way, God repented. Did he repent from his sins? No, because he never sinned. People take that word repent as though they teach to turn away and to come and confess your sins. This repentance wasn't a repentance of their sins. It was to change their mind who the Messiah was. They had just killed him. We also know that John the Baptist spoke of this baptism on which the Holy Ghost would come. And that's what Peter says. The same thing that John the Baptist says. If you repent and be baptized, he says, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So that's what was shared. So we see here two more baptisms also. If you go to Matthew chapter 3, look at verse 11. The Word of God says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. There's a purification, a cleansing. But he that cometh after me, we know that he that cometh after him is who? It's Jesus Christ. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So not only do we see a water baptism that was important for Israel, for this nation, not only did we see, look, you're dirty, you need to be cleansed as a whole nation. Because there's two other baptisms that were going to come. And Christ was going to do this baptism. And so this is the two others. But everybody stands with the water. They don't mention these. But we see here there are two more baptisms. This we just read in Acts mentions the Holy Ghost, doesn't it? Now, in order to be baptized with this Holy Ghost, you see that you have to be baptized with John's baptism. Peter offered John's baptism, and you notice he says all. He doesn't say, look, you need to be baptized, and it's an individual thing. Peter says, you all need to be baptized. The whole nation had to be baptized. That's what John the Baptist shared, and Peter was sharing that baptism that John the Baptist shared. Right now, everything that we are talking about is with the context of what God's dealings and the program with the nation of Israel. We've got to remember, we can't get confused here. Everything that I'm reading deals with the nation of Israel and their baptisms. See, our baptism is something else. We are living now in a time that God had never told about to them. Peter and them didn't have a clue of this. We are now living in the dispensation of grace. God dealing with us now as the body of Christ. Tell you what, go to Matthew chapter 3, go to verse 5. I want you to see a difference. Now this is to Israel, to the nation. Verse 5 says, Then went out to him Jerusalem, and all Judea, and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Now we read about the baptism that John said, we're about to stay where you're at, but John says there's one that's coming after me that's going to baptize how? With the Holy Ghost and with what else? And with fire. Who do you consider the Pharisees and the Sadducees? You're getting the fire, buddy. And he's sharing ahead of this. These leaders, look at verse 8, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. What were the Pharisees and Sadducees doing? They were religious zealots of themselves. They brought glory upon themselves. And he's just telling them, man, you're about to be shut down. Verse 11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I. See, he says, look, I bring the purification process and the cleansing, but the one coming after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Now it's interesting here. People will see this baptism of fire, and you know what they'll think of? They'll be taught that this baptism of fire, and they'll speak as this is the Spirit coming down upon them, and that he's going to speak and give you new tongues. This is what churches today teach. They'll take you here, the Pentecostal and Charismatic movement, say that this fire is a good thing, is what they'll do. And these are scriptures which talk of the Holy Ghost coming upon with tongues like as fire, is what they'll say. Well, in Acts 2, verse 3 and 4, they'll go there and they'll say, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This is not the fire that he's speaking of in Matthew. What it's talking about is Matthew verse 12, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Two different scenarios here. Acts 2 is the Holy Spirit coming upon them so that those that were there at Pentecost could understand what was being shared. Peter was sharing, you've killed the Messiah, you better change your mind, and you all need to be baptized. And then the Holy Ghost will come. In this, in Matthew chapter 3, verse 12, it's a judgment. It's a baptism of judgment that is coming with the fire, and it's going to burn it up. The wheat are saved, the chaff are baptized with fire. Now, Paul also mentions this time, look at 2 Thessalonians 1:7. Paul mentions about what John's saying about them coming and being burned up. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, look what Paul says in verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with the everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. What's He telling those people in Thessalonians that are troubled? Rest. It ain't your issue. But there's coming a time where those that he judges with fire. This is one that we don't want to be a part of. It's not the Acts 2. And of course, if you're saved, you won't be a part of it. If you're in this dispensation, it's not the issue if you're saved. But everybody in Israel will be baptized with the Holy Ghost or with fire. We can also notice here that these two baptisms aren't wet, are they? They're both dry. Let's also notice here in Matthew who is doing the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Kevin started teaching this morning. I thought, man, he's all over where I want to get to. I love it. Y'all missed it. He said it a little bit better than I did. But in Matthew 3:11, the word is, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and the fire. It's, of course, who? Christ. Jesus Christ is the baptizer, and those are baptized into the Holy Ghost, the nation of Israel. Now let's notice our baptism. I want you to see the difference in what Paul said and what was shared by John the Baptist and what he said Christ would do. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, look at verse 13. Now Matthew 3:11, Christ baptized them into the Holy Ghost. Look at 12:13 of 1 Corinthians. The Apostle Paul says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Who's the baptizer here? It's the Spirit. And who's He baptizing us into? Christ. In Matthew, to the nation of Israel, Christ would baptize and would give them the Holy Ghost. Today, in this dispensation, Paul says that the Holy Spirit baptizes you into Christ. They're different. They can't be the same if they're different. It just can't. I mean, you got to understand, the baptisms are different. People that believe the church started in Acts chapter 2, they believe that's the church, the body. They'll never make this an issue, but it always is. Every time I've talked to somebody that says, no, the church, the body of Christ. Now, don't get me wrong, there was a church in Acts 2. It was a Jewish church following John's baptism with Peter went and shared. And you can find that church. It wasn't a new start. It goes all the way back. Take it all the way back to Numbers. Take it back to the Exodus. You can take it all the way back to the heritage where it all began and came through. And people today, I'll say, well, why is this different than this? And they'll skip it every time. Your commentators, they'll skip it every time. It's amazing. They will not make it an issue, but it is an issue. In Matthew 3, in Acts 1 and chapter 2, these chapters have Jesus as the baptizer and the Holy Ghost is what they are baptized with. And the water baptism has already been received. But today, in the Spirit baptism, the one baptism we have today, the Holy Ghost is the baptizer, and we're baptized into Jesus Christ. Do words mean something? This means everything differently, doesn't it? In Acts, he was telling them of the things that Joel recorded. He goes back to prophecy. They were preparing to go through the tribulation. They knew nothing of our dispensation. They were going to receive the power of the Holy Ghost to go through it, and this is why he mentions this time in Mark, if you go to chapter 16 and verse 17. Very important here. Mark 16 and 17. Why was it important in times past with John the Baptist from him sharing how Jesus was going to baptize? Well, I'm going to tell you why. Because they were going to go through a time that we don't have to go through. And they needed to have the works of the Holy Ghost upon them. And so Jesus would baptize with the Holy Ghost. Mark 16, verse 17. This makes so much more sense. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. See, when baptized by the Holy Ghost, you don't see anything today. Nothing out of the ordinary is seen by manifestation. So when people today teach or preach that, hey, you're baptized by the Holy Ghost, isn't it amazing we don't see anything like this? You don't watch anybody drinking a glass of gasoline, do you? Because it's a different baptism for a different dispensation. It's not to us or for us. And so that's not the issue. Go to Ephesians 4:3. Today people say you need to be baptized with water and then you need to come up the front, you need to receive the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you something, that's not in this dispensation. If it is, we would be able to do these things. Am I right? In Ephesians 4:3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, there is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. It's not wet. It's not wet, church. If you tell others, well, that's just how you believe and it's okay, you're deceiving. There's one baptism. And if anybody has a Baptist pool in their church and they say you need to identify your faith of Christ by being submerged, if there's a baptistry up front where they sprinkle, can I tell you something? That is deception, and it's telling them that they are Israel, and it's telling them that it's a purification process, and they even do it wrong then. It's sad is what it is, and we've come this far. It took me 36 years to see this truth. And I'm telling you what, it's a sad picture. Because there is one baptism, and if we say the others are okay for this time, we are deceived. Verse 5, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Unless the truth is not important to you, you don't have to deal with this. If the truth's important to you, this is something you have to deal with. I had to come to a point and deal with it. Verse 6, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. Look real quick at Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Hebrews 6, 1 and 2. Now, Hebrews was written to who? Gentiles? No, it'd be the book of Gentiles. It's very clear. Hebrews is written to Hebrew people. Hebrews 6, 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrines of what? Is that plural? Baptisms. Well, which one is it? Things that are different can't be the same, can they? So therefore, you have to make a right division in what your doctrine is so that we can be of the same mind, so that we can come together as a body of believers and know what the truth is, and we base it on the authority of God's Word. And the issue is, this verse can't be for us if Paul says one baptism, and Paul says in Romans chapter 15, verse 16, that he is the minister of the Gentiles of Jesus Christ, right? And in verse 6, it says that Christ was to who? The circumcision. So you can choose the circumcision, but you'll be wrong, because you have to choose Paul's epistles if you're a Gentile. And he says one baptism. This is why we can know Hebrews is not for us also, because it says baptisms. It's clear here that Hebrews has the issue of baptisms. You have water for remissions and the Holy Ghost. This is Israel's program. It cannot be speaking of the same thing that Paul speaks of in Ephesians. Do you see now why Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, that he has not come to baptize because it takes away what? What Christ did at the cross. And so when you see this beautiful picture of who's baptized, you know what they take away? The power of the cross. Paul wrote a letter back to him. He says, I didn't teach you this way. This is the report I'm getting. And that's the very letter that we need if we say it's okay when it's not. So we don't need to fake it. We need to be gentle, tender-hearted, and we need to see that people know the truth. We need to come together. We need to be faithful in this body of believers, in this church, so that we can see things of the same mind, and so we're not teaching things differently. Amen.